Blog Talk Radio.
As we journey through this book, we will uncover, unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanate. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit, but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
Yeah! Nothing, nothing!
Welcome, ladies, to Overcoming, the book read of Overcoming the Angry Vagina, written by Queen Afua and hosted by me, Monique Nubia Sunshine. I'm so grateful that we are here today to do this show. I do want to give a disclaimer just before we begin the show. And probably something I should do every week because a lot of what we share is based on our experiences and our journey through reading this book and those ladies who have been with me from the Sacred Woman book read. So what we share is intimate. What we share is our personal stories. And we share our personal stories in love for healing of ourselves and to share healing for others. It has been my experience in doing this show that so many women have been moved by one another through their stories, through their tears, through the laughter. Every show always presents itself as something uniquely beautiful for every woman that participates, and I'm grateful for that. But I want everyone to know that this is a show that doesn't just highlight who we are as queens, but also teaches us to heal and communicate amongst one another, opening up to one another. And even though this is a broadcast, and some people may think it is too personal to do this type of thing on a live broadcast that is recorded, it moves people, and that's the reason why I chose the song of this evening by India Irie called I Am Moved By You. I also want to give a disclaimer that if I get disconnected, because my phone has been acting very strange lately, and I still haven't rectified the problem, if we get disconnected or I get disconnected, please do not hang up. I will call back immediately if my call gets dropped or if I get disconnected. So please stay on. We're going to have a full show this evening. I also want to dedicate this show and this song to two people who I am moved by. The first person that I want to extend my love to is my sister Lavette, who has been doing this book read from the Sacred Woman book read from the beginning. I want to just share my love for her. I'm with you, my sister, no matter what the situation may or may not be. My heart is thinking of you, and I love you. I also want to dedicate this show to a brother friend of mine, Terrence, and I know he's not listening, but he had a loss this week or 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, of a very dear friend. And I want him to know that I'm thinking of him, and I know that he is healing, and that if he needs anything, as a friend, I am here. As a sister, I am here. And he's one of my brothers from the King Me show that I do on Thursdays, and I'll give the lineup when I towards the end of the show. But I also want to share something with you ladies before we move on. There was a post that I had actually put in the group page that I thought was pretty interesting, and I wanted to share it. So we're going to go to this clip, and then we're going to begin our show.
My vagina's angry. Oh, it is. It's pissed off. My vagina's furious, and it needs to talk. It needs to talk about all this shit. It needs to talk to you. I mean, what's the deal? An army of people out there thinking up ways to torture my poor ass, gentle, loving vagina? Spending their days constructing psycho products and nasty ideas to undermine my pussy, vagina motherfucker. All this shit they're trying to shove up us, clean us up, make it go away. My vagina's not going away. It's pissed off and it's staying right here. Underwear. comfort. Make something like that, something to give them pleasure. But no, of course they won't do that. Hate to see a woman having pleasure, particularly sexual pleasure. I mean, make a pair of cotton panties with a French tickler built in. Woo! Woo, honey. Women would be coming all day long. You know it. Coming in the supermarket, coming on the subway, coming happy vaginas. Ooh, they would not be able to stand it, seeing all those hot, happy, energized, not taking shit vaginas. Now, my vagina helped release a giant baby. It thought it would be doing more of that. It's not. Now it wants to travel, doesn't want a lot of company. It wants to read and know things and get out more. It wants sex. It loves sex. It wants to go deeper. It's hungry for depth. It wants kindness. It wants change. It wants silence and freedom and warm liquids and gentle kisses and deep touch. It wants chocolate. It wants to scream. It wants to stop being angry. It wants to come. It wants to want. It wants. My vagina. My vagina, well, it wants everything.
Okay, ladies. I thought that was awesome, and I wanted to share that. That poem, it comes from the play The Vagina Monologues, which came out a while back. I don't remember exactly when it came out, but I remember, like, I don't remember the exact date, but I remember when it was a big buzz about this play, and I never got the opportunity to see it, but when I saw this video, it made me interested, because the topic of angry vaginas have been the topic of conversation long before our discovery of working with the womb. It's probably been in conversation when Queen Afua was a young woman, and probably not to the degree of how we speak on it today, but among sisters and among girlfriends, chit-chatting and talking about their vaginas and some of the things that has gone on in sharing stories of relationships and of dysfunctions and things like that. Women have been sharing their stories with one another. So as we continue back into the book, the last conversations that we were having, we were reading some stories of some of the women's experiences and having discussion on that. And then prior to the last show, we talked about fibroids, and I really wanted to share something about overcoming the toxic lifestyle so that we don't create these fibroids or whatever other issues that are created in our vagina, to lessen some of the anger, to remove some of the anger that is already growing in there. So I'm going to read from the book. If you have the book, the page that I'm reading from is page 9, and it's called Overcoming a Toxic Lifestyle. And I probably read it before, but I'm going to read it again because it's been a while since we've gone down this path. So it says, if you have this book in your hand, you are probably interested in finding ways to take better care of yourself. Not everyone will decide to become a vegetarian or vegan. However, consider eliminating toxic foods and toxic practices from your life while raising the frequency of your womb centers. The strategies here focus on nutrition, physical care, emotional, mental care. Perform them daily or weekly as needed for the restoration of wellness, reproductive womb, the womb of your heart, and the womb of your mind. So I'm just coming off a detox, and I think it's very important to, I don't want to say coming off a detox. I actually, as I was going through this detox, this 21-day detox leading into the spring equinox, it became more to me, more of an understanding to me that every day is a detox. Every day that we take in food should be every day that we eliminate it out of our bodies. So when I say detox and cleansing, I'm more delegated to doing it on a daily basis, removing whatever I put inside my body out, as well as removing any negative energy that comes into my space and, you know, receiving energy and then removing it out is so important. So detox is not just to me about doing, oh, let me do a month here, let me do a week here. I believe it's a daily regimen that needs to happen. And when we start to change or overcome a toxic lifestyle, we make decisions that remove toxicity out of our body. And me doing a detox on a daily basis is taking that step to create a non-toxic lifestyle on a daily basis. So what Queen talks about also is your nutrition. And she says, do choose the food or plan that supports your womb wellness. So in my detox plan, my detox was more or less putting fruits, vegetables, grain, beans, legumes, those types of things inside my body, trying to obtain as raw as much as I can. But if I couldn't do raw, there were some occasions where I did soups and cooked beans and things like that that assist me during that time. But as much raw food as possible, because raw food can move through the body better than most other heavier foods or foods that require more preparation with cooking and heating. And many foods lose their nutritional value when you heat them up, especially some vegetables and things like that. So you kind of want to keep it as raw as possible, as possible. We're not all going to be perfect in our journey. But it says, do prepare and eat a meal with your family at least once a week. And so what the key to having a successful, I want to say successful diet plan based on removing toxic energies or toxic items out of the body is to actually prepare your meals. If you are a working individual, you want to be able to prepare your lunches at home and the night before you go to work and bring them with you to work, because you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you don't prepare, you get to work, and everybody's ordering lunch, and you find yourself ordering something that you are trying to get out of the habit of eating. And so sometimes that happens, especially when you don't have what you need for the day and you know that you need the nutrition, you need the value to add to your body, and you just go and get something to eat because you need to put something in your stomach. You don't want to be stuck like that. So, and drinking water daily, which is 1 quart of pure water daily, and sometimes we can add lemon to our water so it doesn't have to be boring all the time. I find myself getting bored with water, and I add the lemon. Lemon also helps, and then the chlorophyll, my green juice that I always do. But if you can also add cucumber, and you can add strawberries and raspberries into your water, it gives it a little flavors up your water a little bit, and you don't have just the plain water all the time. And then Queen Afua has tonics, Woman's Herbal Life formula, and she also has some green organic juices and things like that. I meant to post it last time. I'll post it this time around, and if anybody gets to it before I do, please do. And then she says, eat a lot of vegetable protein, beans, peas, lentils, raw nuts, seeds, sprouts, soak your seeds, nuts, and beans in water overnight if needed. I don't know if nuts is good to soak overnight, but it's definitely your choice. And then she says, do take calcium. And it's found in almonds, sesame, and sunflower milk. So, and then she says to take your green formula, which is one of the products that she offers. So it's reducing the desire to overeat. It gets rid of those cravings, which is, I find that helpful when you do green smoothies with a lot of vegetables. And when you add that spirulina in it, that spirulina actually can curb, can definitely curb those cravings. It actually has helped me. So, and then she says, especially while on a detoxing plan, do not eat fried foods or fast foods. Do not eat meat. Do not eat processed foods. Do not eat white meat, white bread. And do not drink alcoholic beverages. Or if you are prone to drinking wine, ladies, just always do it in moderation. Minimize the amount that you typically do. So if you have a glass of wine a day, try to do cut it to like every 3 days, or try to cut it to a half a glass of wine. Like, try to minimize the amount of alcohol, because alcohol turns into sugar in the body, and it doesn't turn into good sugar. So once you continue to put that in the body, it doesn't assist you in being able to move things adequately out the body. It just puts a lot of sugar in the body, and you want to not have that issue. She also says to prepare your spirit. Consider prayers and affirmations and repeat or recite that are appropriate for you and your wellness goals. This is also a guide or a good time for you to meditate about your womb, your global womb wellness. So really I try to do, for me in the mornings when I get up, is do an affirmation. Sometimes I'm not always on point. When I'm doing meditation sessions with other people in the morning, I'm definitely on it with the affirmation. So sometimes I need that little reminder. So what I started to do is I wrote a little note to myself on a sticky, and I put it in my mirror, because I know I have to go in the mirror every day. I know I have to look at my hair and what's going on with it. And so I leave a sticky so that I can be reminded that I have to do an affirmation, because sometimes I'll just go in the mirror and I'll get into brushing my teeth and doing all these other things, and then I'll say to myself, oh, yeah, I got to do an affirmation. And then I get so busy in my routine of getting prepared and getting ready for work that it just doesn't happen. So while I have the sticky on that mirror, it does help me. She also mentions to prepare to record your journey to wellness. Purchase or prepare a notebook to record your experiences of transformation to wellness, body, mind, and spirit. And that's something that we need to do. We need to purchase journals, and I don't know how many women do spend time journaling. We do need to make it a part of our lives. Just even in the evening before we go to bed, or in the mornings before you go out the door, I think it's so essential to the development of who we are, especially when you can go back in that journal and you can look at from where you came to where you're going and to where you want to be. Setting goals is also important. I believe that once we set a plan as to how we want to begin the process of healing our angry vaginas, we need to plan it out. I know some people are not as structured and feel like they just go with spirit, and that's always beautiful too. But I think it's always nice to see yourself on paper. It's nice to have it laid out and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because we do that with our children, for those who are mothers. We plan out what they're going to do. Well, we tell them to be organized, or plan, get their clothes ready for the night before, or make sure that they have their homework in order. So if we're asking our children to do that, we should be responsible adults in our lives and do that as well. And that's not to say you're not responsible, but I think it shows an example of how you put that attention towards yourself. And as much as you want your children to have that for them, you should have it for yourself as well. And the daily womb work that Queen talks about is align yourself to wellness, listen to womb wellness CDs for reinforcement, drink herbal formulas from 7 to 21 days, and this will vary for different individuals. You don't have to do it exactly for those days, but actually give yourself something that is going to be healthy and give yourself a good amount of time that you know you're going to be able to work with. Avoid fried foods, again, because they do contribute to heart attacks, blood pressures, and strokes. And so you want to minimize any additional stress that you're going to have on your body. And then she says replace dairy products. And I think that's important for us to do as well, and start to begin to think about what we want to do in replacing dairy products, because of the hormones and the steroids that are in cow's milk definitely alter the hormones that are in our bodies and definitely lead to overgrowth of different types of things and cells in the body that we don't need to add to what is already angry. And then she says to avoid sugar. And a lot of these things I will post for those who do not have the book, but I'm hoping that most of you ladies do have. If not, again, I will post them. She also says to drink 8 glasses of room temperature water daily so that you can stay hydrated. She says also to drink green juice. And, again, I will put the website up for her green juice. But you can also make your own green juice. And I'll put a recipe of what I use for my green juice. And I think I've been doing that for quite a while, but I'm gonna keep putting it up. Reduce animal flesh consumption. Now, I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to ask the callers, why should we eliminate meat from our diet? So as I'm opening up the lines, I just want to remind the ladies, if you have any background noise or anything, please mute your phone. I'm going to open up all the lines, but I am going to call on individual callers to speak just so that we have a full, well-rounded discussion. So if you can have me on the computer, like if you're listening to me on the computer while you are on the phone, please turn the volume down, because what tends to happen is an echo starts to happen. So, for instance, if someone is listening on their computer but also calling on the phone because they want to speak, it gets picked up. And then when you hear echo, that typically means because someone has that noise in the background. So we want to try to eliminate as much background noise as we can. So I'm going to call on the number with the last 4 digits of 0364. Welcome. Are you with me?
Hey, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Okay. Welcome.
Hi, Peace Goddess. How are you?
I'm great.
It's wonderful. This is Sean. And I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was in the queue, so you kind of caught me off guard.
That's okay. I listened to your voice and seemed to sound familiar, and I was like, that does sound like Sean. Okay.
Okay. And I am hearing a little bit of feedback, but to answer your question, the reason why, in my opinion, that we should, you know, avoid animal flesh is, one, when we consume animal flesh, we take on the spirit of those animals.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand the impact that has on us. So, as you know, when we talk about angry, and a lot of these animals, like when they're slaughtered, you know, when they're taken to these meat houses, they're taken through very traumatic experiences. So now here we're consuming animals that have gone through these traumatic experiences, and now we're taking on, you know, the spirit of these animals. And then the other thing is also is understanding the body's ability to break down these animal proteins. And so when you talk about this stuff getting caught in your system, and then all of the chemicals, to your point earlier, the chemicals that they're using in these animals, you know, the antibiotics, the steroids, and a number of other chemicals, well, a lot of those chemicals have an impact on our nervous system and our endocrine system. And when you think about the function of the endocrine system, that is where all of your bodily chemicals are manufactured. Consider the impact that's going to have on you mentally, and then of course spiritually, and of course physically as well. But I would say those are probably the two main reasons to avoid. And I know for me, I've been able to heal myself from conditions when I stopped consuming animal flesh. I no longer suffered from depression and all kinds of other conditions, and I felt great overall. So on a positive note, you know, those have been some benefits for me.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, it's amazing that many of us who are not eating meat, the changes. I hear so many stories about so many changes that are for the better of the body. And I'm not coming against any meat eaters, but you absolutely had a point, especially with the way that they are slaughtering these animals and the spirit and the energy of the animal as they are being killed. It is definitely in our food. You know, we was all raised to say grace when we were younger, most of us. We're raised to say grace every time before we ate a meal. And it was explained to me when I was younger that because we did that because we wanted to be thankful for what we had. But when I grew older, I started to adopt the attitude of not only saying grace to give thanks, but saying grace to cleanse, to ask the spirit of my ancestors to remove the impurities from my food or allow the food that goes into my body to be more nutrient-based and not toxic. And so, you know, and even though that doesn't remove what is already in the food, but it gives you an awareness of whatever that we are ingesting, we know that we need to clean it out of our bodies, and we know that it needs to be cleaned going in our bodies. So we try to do what we can on an energy level to correct that and rectify that. But what we talked about last week, we talked about the connection of the colon as it is related to the womb. So when you talk about putting meat inside the body, when you talk about putting flesh, just any type of flesh that is unclean, that is filled with chemicals, and we're putting it inside of our colon, as Sean said, you know, it is hard for our bodies to break it down, especially even more so now that they're adding things to it. As you can see, some of these animals have are being injected so that they have more mass on their bodies. And a lot of that mass that's on their bodies is killing the animal itself for the short time that it's going to live in order to carry this additional meat. And this is so that they, you know, don't want to, they want to get more meat from this animal. And so they're basically cloning the animal within the animal. And the stress that it puts on these animals, whatever hormones and adrenaline is being you know, released from this animal out of all the stress is also combined with those toxins and those chemicals that they put in. And then to go through the death process, the slaughter process, just takes it an extra step. So for our bodies to be able to try to process that, and with many people who are eating and the food is just sitting in the body for days and days and days, just imagine, and I mentioned this before, just imagine having some meat in your refrigerator for a week. Now say, and it might preserve better than put the meat out on your counter for a week and see what happens to that meat. And what happens to that meat is the same thing that happens inside your colon when you are not removing it out of the body. It sits there. And your body temperature, our body temperature is 98.6 degrees, a lot hotter than room temperature. You can always put air conditioner on in the room. You can always stick that thing in a refrigerator. But leaving it in the sun, let's just say, leaving it out in the sun and watch what happens to that meat is the same thing that is going on inside your body, except you have fluids that are trying to break it down. But when your system gets so used to having this type of food in your body, it becomes more and more difficult. It's almost like the body just becomes immune to just holding on to this food that is slowly becoming rotten inside your body. And the relation of your colon to your womb can cause a stench to come out of your womb. And this then contributes to the development of fibroids, the development of cysts and tumors,
the development of abnormalities as far as just discharge that isn't correct. You know, it's a host of many things that can happen when we are not feeding our bodies the right thing. So thank you so much, Sean, for that. I appreciate you sharing that because
yes,
it is very, very, very important. Thank you.
Yes, and do you mind? Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
I just have one challenge for everyone on the call, and that's at least for the next week, as you're eating food and you're consuming food, be mindful of how that food makes you feel. Food, when we consume food, it's to give us energy. So when you eat food, if you feel sluggish, if you feel tired, if you get a bellyache, I know when I was growing up, I'd eat food, and it was normal to have a bellyache, and you just go take some Pepto-Bismol. Food is not supposed to do that to you. Food is life. It's energy. So if you don't feel that way, just be mindful of that and maybe start, you know, making some changes, even, you know, even outside of the meat, but just being conscious of what you put in and how it makes you feel holistically. And that's all I have. Thank you, sis.
Yes. No, thank you for sharing that. That's a gem. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So definitely that is a challenge for all of us. And what I would go further to extend that challenge is try not eating meat for if you eat meat on a daily basis, try for 3 days going without meat. And if you eat meat less than that, try to go a week without meat. And I would say journal it. Write it down. Write down how you feel after you eat a meal. You might not want to write it right away, but at some point during the course of the day or in the evenings when you begin to journal, write down what your experience was after you ate that meal. So that way you can get a sense of what's going on. And then write down when you digested from that meal. So that way you know your body's timing, how long it takes your body to break down certain things. You know, when I started doing cleansings and I did a colon cleanse and I went and got a colonic done, their timetable for me was basically have me eat corn, because they say corn takes the longest to break down, and sometimes corn doesn't even break down for some people, depending on your metabolism and how your bodily fluids and what's going on in your body. So their timetable for me was knowing when that corn was ready to come out. And so when I went and got a colonic done, my body at that point when I first got it done was not even cooperating with me at all. There was no healthy digestion going on. So by the time, and this was like a day, they told me to eat the corn the night before, so that way when I come to get the colonic done, they can see how much of it has been broken down, if it has been broken down, or if I just totally didn't digest it at all. And so when I went, my body just froze. Totally froze, didn't do anything. Nothing came out of me but air. And it was like in shock, because my digestive system or my colon probably was like, what the hell is going on? You know, and so it wasn't until after maybe about 30, 40 minutes that I started to move something. But it wasn't a significant amount of things. It wasn't until I finished the session that I had immediately had to go to the bathroom. And so, and that only forced the issue, because it was like, it's like having an enema. So it kind of forced the issue for everything to come out, but it shouldn't be like that. No, going to the bathroom should ever be about force. Even when you're sitting down and you're going to the bathroom on your own, straining and pushing and all those things, it shouldn't be about force. If you are eating something that is healthy for you and is moving properly through the body and is properly broken down, you will not have to force to get it out. You know, if you are moving things out of the body and things are sticking to the base of the toilet, then you can almost guarantee that things are sticking inside of your intestines. So these are things that we need to look out for as we're doing detoxes and cleansings out of the body. So I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to just ask any of the ladies, do you have
anything that you want to share or any questions that you want to ask while we are, have everyone open. And again, if you open the lines, please make sure you need your background so that or so that you get into a clear space where there's not a lot of noise going on. But I've opened up all the lines. Do any ladies have any questions or would like to share anything?
Fresh water through the pipe.
Hello?
Hello?
A few of the lines. Hello? Okay. So I'm going to continue to go back into the reading, and then I'm going to ask a few more questions and then see if we can have a discussion. So as we talked about the colon connection, we talked about the colon connection last week. We're also going to talk about the dedication that it takes in order to do a detox. Okay, the process of getting rid of toxins is called detox. So it took some time to develop tumors and other symptoms of disease. Now it will take time to undo the damage. Be prepared. For at least a week before you begin a fasting regimen, eat a light vegetarian diet. This is something that many of us don't do. When we go right into a detox, we go right into the detox. We don't even prepare the body. And the body can go into shock, and you can start to have some negative experiences if you just go right into it. Okay. This will make it easier to begin the actual fast. Plan ahead for your meals and responsibilities to minimize the interruptions to your detox efforts. Be consistent, very important. Once you begin your fast, consume only vegetable and fruit juices and live food. Follow the exercise and breathing and resting instructions for your fast. Very soon, your body and your womb will start getting rid of accumulated toxins, and be patient with yourself. Now, one thing I do want to say about getting rest, because I don't think many of us think about that when we talk about fasting and detoxing. It is so essential that we get enough sleep. It is essential that we get sleep. And it is essential that when we are on our moon cycles that we care for our bodies by getting rest. One of the things that is my belief that when you do get your moon cycle, for those who still get their moon cycles, that is a time for us. That is a time for us, our sacred time, our sacred healing time, our sacred love time with ourselves, just being connected to who we are as women. And it was my idea to take one day off from my job and planning ahead to take off for my moon cycle. I feel it's important enough for me to be home and caring for myself. And that was the one thing that I made it my business to start doing, like with all my PTOs at work. And you know what? I'm going to take one day each month to take a day off and give that time to my moon cycle when it comes. And I take it like a sick day if I need to. But it's basically, to me, I hold it sacred. And I didn't come to appreciate that until after I almost totally alleviated my womb. After I destroyed it and did things to it, that my womb started screaming. My vagina was so angry that it forced me to pay attention and give her that attention by saying, you know what, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to nurture her. I'm going to take care of her. So, I'm, you know, pushing that effort forth for me to be consistent with paying attention to my womb. So she says also, don't be alarmed. As your body begins to detox, you may experience one or more fasting crises. This means your body is having a reaction to the cleansing process. These reactions are normal. The body is getting rid of toxins. You are detoxing. You can minimize or prevent the fasting crises or detox drama if you prepare, as suggested above. Do not panic. Don't stop cleansing. Below are some ways that your body may react for the few days of your fast. So I'm going to open up the lines, and I'm going to ask the caller of with the last digits of 2136. Welcome.
Peace and blessings, Queen.
Peace and blessings, beautiful. How are you? So I want to ask you, when you started doing your detoxing, what was the first thing that you started to feel when you did, or sort of like a detox but fasting? I know we did the fasting in January. What was the first thing that you started to experience during that time?
I want to say it was mobility. I felt lighter. Clarity in my thinking. It was just like a weight was lifted off of me. And, you know, my body just started to, you know, started to tune into everything around me, and my vibration got higher, and it was just, it was really a life-changing, you know, fast for me, and I'm still continuing to do that. There are a few things that I still need to work on, but as far as meat, I totally and completely let that go and have never went back. I found myself, you know, just asking why I even had to have that experience. But, you know, when we need something to cling onto, or we're taught to eat a certain way, and we just don't want to let go of things, you know, we tend to just, you know, gravitate towards it and continue to lead that lifestyle. But we really have to pay attention to what, you know, the spirit is telling us, that, you know, those type of foods are, you know, they're causing us the heaviness, the depression. And, you know, once we release those things, then that's when we'll begin to, you know, grow and move into our next stages of health and healing and wellness.
Absolutely. And so what negative experiences did you have when you first began fasting? Like, did you experience headaches or discharges or impatience and dizziness and things like that? What was your negative experiences with fasting?
Snappiness. You know, I was, you know, and I really was like fighting with myself. It was like, you know, you can eat that. And it's like, you know, you can't eat that. You know, I was literally in a battle with myself and the food. Like, you know, like it was pulling me. Like, you know, you can have just a little bit. You know, that's not going to hurt you. But, you know, it becomes a tug of war. And it's really not beneficial, you know, to your healing and the next step we need to go to as healing, you know, our daughters and our nieces and, you know, the women that are, you know, with us in this circle. And not saying that it's wrong, but it's, you know, it elevates you, it builds you up once you start to, you know, change your mind in regards to how you feel and how you're doing stuff. Because I was really angry, upset. But it became, you know, ease, and it became, you know, graceful for me to walk through it, and I've never looked back.
I hear you. And that's how it usually, you know, when they talk about the grieving process, they talk about first you get angry. First you're in denial. Then you're angry about it. Then you really start to get sad about it. And then you get depressed about it. And there's stages to everything. And with detoxing and fasting, there's stages. And I know in the beginning of my fasting, when I first started doing it, I felt good because I felt like I was doing something that was so empowering. But physically, my mouth was dry all the time. I was always gassy, and it was horrible because it was like, you know, I know that there's toxins removing itself from the body, and it's removing itself in air, and it was just horrible. And that was another thing that was really frustrating, headaches. And I haven't had headaches in years, but I had started getting headaches. Mental confusion in the sense of, you know, because when you start to detox or you start to fast, and you're cleansing your body, you're leaving your body open to receiving all types of messages.
Yes.
you're leaving the energy space open to receive so much. So a lot of clutter was coming to me, but a lot of messages was coming to me. And the mental confusion was trying to decipher what messages are for me and what messages were for someone else, or what messages were clear.
Absolutely.
And what messages were clear. It was so difficult for me to be able to understand that the first week and a half of me doing a fast, because, you know, here we are. Fasting is creating a whole new lifestyle for yourself, especially if you're doing it for several weeks. It's a new lifestyle altogether. So it's almost like moving into a new house. You know, you moving into a new house, and typically when we move into a new house, we come in and we clean it up and we make it nice and beautiful. We want to make sure before we put our furniture in there, we want to clean it up nicely. We want it to smell good. We want to open up all the windows, you know. And when I moved into my new space here, I lit my sage. I wanted everything clean. So what happens now that everything is clean, now it's open to receiving something that can toxify, something that can dirty it up again. You know? And so the same thing with our bodies, and we're cleaning our bodies and we're removing things. Now we're like this antenna for all kinds of stuff. And so all these things start coming, and I'm like, okay, what is this, what is this, what is this? Trying to sort it out, you know, and it becomes very, very difficult. And that's why also creating a plan will help you get through those moments, so then you do understand that while you're fasting, you're getting this mental confusion, you know, and you're getting flatulence, and you'll start to understand and not say, well, you know what, let me stop doing this detox because this should not be happening, you know, but it should be happening. And it's something that you don't want to let it discourage you because something different is happening. It's a lifestyle change. But thank you so much for sharing that, Rochelle. I'm going to open up the next caller with the last four digits of 6097. Welcome.
Hello.
Peace, sister. How are you?
Hi, this is Victoria's Goddess, Vicky. How are you doing?
Vicky, welcome.
I've missed two calls, and I'm trying to catch up. I'm glad I came back in at the right time.
Yes.
Detoxing is complicated because you have to know what your priority is, what your goal is.
Mm-hmm.
And being prepared is not easy when you have home life, family life, children, yourself, and your own issues within yourself. So my detox I'm working on is water and vegetables and fruit, and not a lot of multigrains and stuff, or not eating too much fiber. Like, I'm not having no root chakra issues with my bowels or digestions or nothing, but I just want some clarity so I can make some real important decisions about who I am, where I'm going, and what I'm going to be doing with motherhood. Gets a little bit less stressful. My question is, I'm having a problem with hair loss, and all my hair is falling. It's just
There's a remedy for that, though.
Yeah, so I want to know what can I do besides after I cut it all off. I'm gonna check a before and after. But I was trying to avoid it, but you know, when half the back of your head and the center top of your head is gone, you really have nothing left.
Wow.
But threads of perm left. You no longer deny that the perm is breaking off. And your hair says, I don't want this no more. So I guess I want my crown free so that I can receive the vibrations I need. And, you know, maybe I'll have a better detox experience if I go ahead and get rid of what's not working for me, which is this permed hair.
Right. So right now you have a perm in your hair, a relaxer in your hair.
Yeah, but it's all broken. It's broken.
So
dry.
Definitely do have the right idea in cutting it off and letting it start new. Especially if it's already coming. Is it coming out in clumps?
It's coming out in clumps. It's coming out when I comb it. It's coming out when I brush it. It comes out when I wash it. It comes out when I condition it. It comes out.
Wow.
You just like saying, I don't want this no more.
It's coming out because it's time for it to come out in that sense, meaning that the relaxer
right.
has to go. Time to go natural. But not only that. You definitely have to write down, and I'm going to challenge you to do this, and I'll help you if you need me to help you. You need me to encourage you every day and call you or send you a text message. I want you to write down what you eat. I want you to write down what you are having for your meals. That's one way we can start to look at what's going on in your body. Then if you're on any type of medications or anything, write those down.
Nope. I don't take no medicine.
All right. Okay.
I'm moving
cool.
to holistic. No over the counters, nothing.
Okay.
Any fragrances that you put on your body,
if you put any oils on your body, or if you put any perfumes on your body, write
oils,
those things
cream.
Down. Mm-hmm. Anything
okay,
that you put on
cream.
Your body, lotion, soap, the soap you use, the shampoo that you use for your hair.
I've noticed. Soap is giving
mm-hmm.
me a problem.
Take inventory of everything that you use, okay? Everything
oil,
that you drink,
soap,
you're around
lotion.
People who smoke,
yeah,
that kind
I
of stuff.
Smoke.
Take inventory.
That's my problem. I still smoke.
Okay. So that's if you definitely want to write down how many times you do that. When you do that,
okay.
write all that stuff down. Then I want you to write the opposite of when you don't, have you been on the path to not smoking?
Yes, I am on that path. I'm trying to stop.
Okay.
This is like my
okay.
fifth attempt to stop smoking.
So try for a week. Or, no, I'm not even going to say a week because I've never been a smoker and I don't know how hard that is and I heard it's hard as hell.
It's hard.
I would
it's
say
hard as hard as hard.
Try after three days of not smoking. Write down how you feel. Huh?
Remember, I stopped smoking weed. I just can't stop the cigarette.
Well, let's start with the cigarettes. let's work on the cigarettes because the cigarettes is not a natural thing. So you want to be able
okay.
to write down your 3 days of not smoking, what your body feels like, okay?
Okay.
And then I want you in those 3 days, I want you to, if you can, try to find some chlorophyll, liquid chlorophyll, okay?
Okay.
And add that to your water. Add like a tablespoon.
I used to drink it a long time ago in
mm-hmm.
my early 20s, but then my whole life changed and I stopped being mm-hmm. healthy and all that and exercising and
why
everything.
Do you think that is? Why do you think that is? What happened that caused that?
I think I was already on the right path. Oh, I was distracted by sex. I was addicted to sex. And allowing myself to be ran over by other people. I didn't value myself.
Mm-hmm.
I devalued
mm-hmm.
myself by allowing people to mistreat me.
Right. So what makes that different now? What is different now that was there?
I'm awake.
What is different?
I have awakened,
okay.
first of all. I have come into the knowledge of some things. I no longer want to, how should I say, I don't want to go with the herd of people
mm-hmm.
that are all going one way because it might not be the race for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to trail my own blaze, walk my own path, enjoy my journey. I want
so
to
this is what I want you to
journey do. And enjoy the process of learning and experiencing it.
Mm-hmm. So this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Okay. I am healing.
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 Say it louder. I am healing.
I am healing.
I will be healed.
I will be healed.
I will be healed.
I will be healed.
I am 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 a healer.
I am a healer. Oh, yes, for sure.
I am a healer.
I'm a healer.
And I am love.
And I am loved. I am a healer and I am loved.
Yes, and I love
you.
That
felt good. Thank you.
I have tears in my eyes. I want you to say that every day to yourself, because you are healing and you are a healer and you are love.
Okay.
And you can do this, and I'm with you. You can do this. You can do this. And I want you to work with that chlorophyll. Chlorophyll will grow your hair back.
Okay.
It'll grow your hair back. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
I love when you call. I love when you call, Miss Vicky.
That's my name.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
You love me. That's why I said you're a healer. Your story heals, honey. Your story heals, and you are definitely a healer. Be proud of that. Be proud of that. I'm going to pick up another line, and I'll come back to you a little bit later. But thank you so much. I love you for that. Oh, that was awesome.
I love you, too. Make you laugh.
Yes. Okay, caller with the last four digits of 0969. Welcome. 0969. Okay, we'll come back to that caller then. Let's try caller with the last four digits, 1713. Welcome, Miss Poetress.
Hi, sorry.
Oh my God, I hope I didn't lose the call.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. I want to say, this sister right here is such a beautiful spirit, Miss Poetress, and I love you so much. You are such a beautiful energy. I want to ask you, when you were going through your fasting, what were some of the negative experiences? And I know you shared it with us before, but just for the ladies who are new on the call, what were some of the negative experiences that you had when you did your fasting in the beginning?
Negative as far as my fasting concerned. I mean, I noticed my attitude was a little off.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, I just drew a mind blank. I'm sorry. I'm kind of sleepy. But yeah, mostly like my attitude was just way off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always cranky and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude-ish and didn't want to be bothered.
I know you had experienced some anxiety before because you said that you were getting headaches when you first did, and then just your body not responding well to some of the changes that was happening, and you were feeling ill. Because I remember you got sick during your fasting time.
I did.
How was you able to overcome that? Because that's the beauty of it all. You stood with it, and you were just like, I'm not giving up. So how did you be able to overcome that?
I think for the most part, not giving up was the way I overcame it. I just wanted to stick to it. I wanted to feel better. You know, I wanted my body to feel better. You know, I just wanted to feel good. So I had to stick with it, not just for my sake, but, you know, for my kid's sake as well. You know, a lot goes through your mind when you're cleansing.
Absolutely. And you showed off your beautiful new body that you've been working on.
I'm trying. Thank you.
No, you did beautiful and such an inspiration. When I saw the picture today, I said, look at this child. She's looking all good, looking all sexy. So that's
thank
good.
You.
I mean, it definitely changes our mindset about our physical. When we start doing a detox or we start fasting, we start thinking a little bit more about how we want to look, you know, how we want to reshape and mold ourselves. So you did a beautiful job and very inspirational in just being able to
hold on and hang in there, because it's not easy making that change, you know. But it says something about the spirit of all of us when we decide that we're going to make a change in our lives that's going to shift the entire world around us. Because not only did we, when we did this journey in January, when we started it, not only did we say to ourselves that, you know, I can't let other people's idea of who I am impact me. I have to be the one who empowers myself in order to get the healing. And we decided that to make the change in spite of our families and what they were doing. You know, we know that we are the women or the queens of our household, that we can make changes with ourselves and it will shift everything around us. You know, some of our children change their eating habits based on what you're doing. And I know it was inspirational to my children when they saw me making smoothies and they wanted to try it, because to them it was like ice cream. Oh, she's making herself some ice cream. I want some ice cream. Yeah, okay, well, we're going to have some broccoli, kale, spinach ice cream up in here, because that's what it is. And so I had to make it appetizing for them to want to change their diet. So we come up with creative ways as parents, as mothers, and as queens to shift the world around us. And you definitely inspired, and I see your littlest one is so inspired by you. And it makes such a difference in the environment that we are creating for our families and, moreover, our daughters, for those who have little girls. So I commend you on that.
Thank you.
I'm going to open up another line, and then I'm going to go back to the reading. Caller with the last four digits of 2770, welcome. Hello? 2770? Hello? Okay, I'll come back to that line. Maybe she's not ready to talk yet. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the book, and we're going to talk about the fasting crises, the things that you're going to experience when you go through a fasting. And these are the negative things, and that's why I asked the ladies the questions, and this is what Queen says that typically happens. Headaches, tiredness, mental confusion, vaginal discharges, fevers, chills, impatience, dizziness, flatulence, blood pressure rising, physical weakness, nightmares, sadness, crying, heavy breathing, skin breakouts, so you'll get like pimples and things like that, aches and pains, blurred vision, shortness of breath, and mood swings. That is major for a lot of us, mood swings. She says these and similar reactions come from a history of eating too much starch, sugar, heavy meat, fried foods, and dairy products regularly. The detoxing reactions you may experience can last from 1 hour to a couple of days. Do not panic. Do not stop detoxing. Be patient to help your body adjust to the detoxification crisis. Continue to drink fruit juices until all symptoms subside. Drink only vegetable juice combinations to stabilize and strengthen the body before reintroducing fruit juices. Immediately take an enema using only warm water and a quart-sized enema bag. And they do sell these enemas that are in the store. I don't use them. What I do is I buy the actual bottles and I empty them out, and I make my own herbal concoctions for enemas. And I don't do them very, very often, because you don't, you know, you just the same as with douching, you kind of want to not do it very much. But you, if you're doing a detox and a cleansing, you do want to eliminate some of the stuff that you feel that you cannot move out of your system. Queen also says discontinue taking salt baths for 2 days and just take warm showers instead. Give yourself a vigorous massage, working at your feet, working upwards towards your heart, or have a professional massage. Now, I want to talk to you ladies about that, because I do a yoni massage, and I do a yoni massage for myself, but that doesn't disinclude the entire body. When I do my yoni breathing techniques,
and my yoni massage. I work from my feet to the upper part of my body, and then I focus on my yoni area. And what I do is after I take a nice shower or a nice bath, and typically when I take a bath, I rinse myself off in the shower because you're sitting in the water for a while. And then when I come out, I let my body air dry, and I grab my coconut oil. Now, the same coconut oil that people use for their foods, I use for my body as well. I use the same coconut oil, and it's cold pressed, and you can use it for skin, and you can use it for cooking. And sometimes I do it with the olive oil as well, but I'm more prone to using the coconut oil. It does something fabulous to my skin. And in the images that I take, if you look at my pictures on Facebook and you look at my skin, that is from the coconut oil. That absolutely works. Not only just because of the coconut oil, it's the chlorophyll that I take in and a lot of the herbs and stuff that I take in, but the smoothness is amazing with the coconut oil. That and sometimes the shea butter. The shea butter is the bomb, but it's kind of heavy. So what I typically do with the shea butter, I use it for my feet because that's where the hardest of my skin is. That's where it's the roughest. So I work my way up. But when I do my yoni massages, I use the oil, the coconut oil, and do a massage. And I actually look at myself doing it because the key part of connecting to our womb is looking at our womb center and looking at our vaginas. The key part is to falling in love with her and not allowing her to be so angry is to give her the same amount of attention that you give, and maybe even more so, that you give to brushing your teeth or doing your hair. Give that your attention completely. And so giving myself a massage enables me to look at my body, to look at new things on my body that I haven't seen before, or to look at those things that I do have. Like I get these beauty marks that pop up every once in a while, and I always notice there's a new one because I'm looking and paying attention to my body, and I think that's so important for us to do. We have to connect to this beautiful shell that is housing our spirit, that is housing our soul, that is housing who we are. We must connect to it because it is the same part of the body. And as I was talking to someone earlier today, because they were commenting about a post that I put up with a woman's body, and he was making comments about, well, Harriet Tubman didn't, put her body out there and this, that, and the third, and if we're going to have honorable sisters, we're not going to show our nudity. And my thing is not, I'm not promoting anybody to be nude. I'm not promoting lewdness. What I am doing when I shared that image was to open up the conversation and the thought with my sisters in taking care of our bodies, paying attention to our bodies. I know that I don't know what Harriet Tubman may have done in her intimate moments. I don't know what any of these powerful and beautiful women ancestors of ours did in their intimate moments. So what I was sharing was to be inspired for our women to, or help our women to be inspired to, in those intimate moments, look at yourself and adorn yourself. Not go outside and be naked and half naked, because that's not what the post promoted. So, I also made mention that, it's always said, or people have mentioned in the Bible, it said that the flesh is weak, but the mind is strong. Well, the flesh and the mind is all part of the same human body. It's all part of the same individual. Why does one need to be disconnected from the other? Because we're trying to make a point about something. When I think of the body, I don't just think of my physical body. I think of my mental body. I think of my spiritual body. I think of everything, my aura, everything that is around me as, as my energy, a part of me. And if I didn't have this flesh, then my spirit would roam. My spirit is to roam. And when we leave out of our bodies, our spirit and our energy goes elsewhere, and it continues. So I'm thankful for the place that contains my spirit right now. So I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to nurture her, and I'm going to give her attention, and I'm going to adorn her, and I'm going to share her with those who want to be inspired. And I'm not going to share it in a lewd way. I'm going to share it in a way where it's loving and it's teaching. And I think that we kind of get so caught up in what society wants us, the morals that they want us to have. You know, and I don't reside in anybody's box of morals. I have my own box of morals. Or I don't have a box at all. My morals are subjected to the experiences that I have. You know, not to say that everything is free-flowing and do whatever the hell you want, but they make sense for my life, and they make sense for the people around me. And I think, you know, most of us need to respect that. So I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, touching yourself is something wrong. It's not wrong. It's you. You know, so giving yourself a massage is definitely something that is needed, especially if you're someone that doesn't have a mate and you don't have your mate to massage you. If you have a man in your life, well, help, you know, have him come assist you in getting that massage that you need. And most brothers will definitely oblige their woman, for sure. Queen continues to say is, discontinue your kidney, liver, flesh, and replace it with juice of one lemon and 3 teaspoons of cold pressed olive oil and 8 ounces of warm water. I do that sometimes. I add the oil to my water, or sometimes I'll just take the teaspoon first and then drink the water. But also drink a mixture of dandelion, which will help tremendously with digestion, and alfalfa tea, and 2 teaspoons of each herb into the water, and then get some more rest or sleep. And then she says to follow these instructions, and the uncomfortable reactions to your cleansing should be over within 1 to 3 days. If the symptoms do persist, then contact your fasting consultant, and remember that you are engaged in a womb revolution. The revolution is change. Expect resistance. Expect your body to resist to your healing process. Expect it, especially if you've 30-something years eating and living the way that you do versus 1 week of detoxing. Expect that the body is going to have resistance, because this is something brand new. And like I said, it's almost like moving into a new home. Be courageous. Prepare to wage a successful campaign to restore wellness to your womb and your life. Examine the tools and strategies on the following pages and relax. You have choices. You can always, always cater it to what works for you. There are no guidelines. There are no rules. There is nobody else's experience that you need to follow but to have your own, and that is no right or wrong to it. It is what is well with you, and that's all that matters. You know, I have so many people tell me, well, how do you do this and how do you do that, or should I be doing this and should I be doing that? Well, you should tell me that, because you know your body better than I do. I can give you assistance and guidance and encouragement, but now it's on you to take assessment and give yourself feedback about what's going on. And I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, your writing these things down will give you a roadmap to what you need to do next. I am a healer, yes, but all of us are healers. And my job primarily is to awaken the healer in you. And if I can't do it, there are lots of beautiful sisters who do what I do who can inspire you and encourage you. But ultimately, it is up to us to decide how we want to heal ourselves, because that healer is within us by nature. It is with us by nature. I'm going to read this last page, and then we're going to wrap up real soon. And this is page 21 for any of the ladies who have the book. And it's called Choices. In order to wage a successful campaign to restore wellness to your womb and your life, you will need to follow a nutritional plan for detoxification and rejuvenation. So she says to see the nutritional plan for womb wellness and attend the womb wellness of your colon. And we talked about that. I'm going to post it to the event page, too, because I'm going to extend the event page so that we can have more dialogue and postings there. You will also need tools, and strategies. The following are time-tested The following are time-tested and well-womb proven tools and strategies for detoxing and rejuvenating your reproductive womb, the womb of your heart, the womb of your mind. Think of them as a banquet of suggestions to support you on your quest for wellness. Don't try to do and use everything on the first day, even on the last day of your 28-day detox schedule. It is one thing to challenge yourself to do your best. However, it is completely another thing to do stress-causing things, even in the name of wellness. That's the one thing we have to be careful of. I know many of us have an urgency to be well and be well quickly. We don't want to do things to our body that is going to disrupt the natural process of doing its healing while you're doing the detox. We don't want to force things on ourselves to speed up the process or assist us to feeling results right away. Sometimes things may take a little bit longer depending on your body, so we want to be able to reduce the amount of stress that we cause our bodies by paying attention, so we don't want to overdo it. Make choices. You don't have to do everything in each category. Find what resonates with you, with your lifestyle, and your wellness goals. You may decide not to explore a particular therapy at this time, and that is fine. Pay attention to your reactions and needs. If you have diabetes or high blood pressure, then use apple cider vinegar instead of Epsom salts in your bath. That is very, very essential. Very, very essential. If you need to rest after taking an enema, take it before going to bed, before going to work. So these are some smart tips to help us to decide how we want to do our cleansing as well. Because if you want to remove toxins out of your body, the best times to do it is in the evening before you go to bed. You definitely don't want to take a probiotic in the morning and then go to work, because then you don't want to be in the bathroom all day at work. You don't want to do an enema in the morning because you don't want to be in the bathroom all day at work, or you want to make it out the door. Sometimes that happens. So we have to strategically plan how we're going to do our – it's not even about what you're going to buy at the supermarket. It's also going to be about how you implement it in your detoxing schedule, how you implement it in a way where it doesn't affect your daily routine, you know, as you are doing things during the course of the day. So we have to be very, very smart. Make adjustments. A cup of herb tea may not be your cup of tea. Instead, mix the herbs in your salad. Sprinkle herbs in your bath on your skin, which is the largest organ. Your organ will drink them right in. Add strategies that support your new wellness lifestyle. You have choices, elements, baths, affirmations, herbs, and more. And empower yourself to gloriously overcome the angry vagina. Take care of yourself. Do you. And that is from Queen. So I'm going to open up the lines real quick and see if anyone has any comments that they want to share. Again, if you have background noise, please mute your phones. I'm opening up everybody's line and see if anyone has anything that they want to discuss, any questions that they have. All the lines are open. Does anybody have any questions or anything they want to share?
I had a really good adventure. If anything, I was eating was really awful.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
That leaves me extremely weak.
Okay. Very, very low. I still can't hear you. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I have all the lines open. Do any of the ladies have any questions or comments?
Oh, I have a this is Victoria's Goddess Vicky. Miss Vicky back on the mic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How does insomnia affect your body, your sleeping pattern? How much does that affect your mood?
It absolutely affects your mood.
I've been able to sleep in like 3 days.
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you know why that is?
I'm pulling all-nighters. I'm not sleeping at all. Do you have any ideas?
Say that again.
Is something on your mind? Do you have a lot on your mind? Or a lot of things you have to do?
I have a lot of things to do. It's like my to-do list is becoming from one page to like 2 pages to 3 days in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I got an influx of duties and responsibilities real quick. And I don't,
mm-hmm.
I'm having difficulty prioritizing or, you know, like figuring out how to get it done where it's not going to stress me out and I still, still keep food on the table two times a day and have some time and meditate and all that stuff and read and pray and, you know, I'm just, I'm overwhelmed, I think. I'm just.
You got a lot going on and your mind is still moving.
There's too much going on in your mind, I think.
It's still moving. Yeah, your mind is still moving and it doesn't want to rest because you are not allowing yourself to rest. But the thing is, you have to definitely, if you don't already have a written schedule out, write your schedule down and make sure you put room in there for sleep. And what time do you typically go to bed?
When I'm not, when my brain is not on overload.
Well, what time do you think that is? Like, if you had to put a time on it, is it 12 o'clock? Is it 1 o'clock in the morning? What time do you typically have to be tired? And is that, and do you go to sleep because you're tired or because you just know you have to go to sleep?
I'll fall asleep at the computer.
Okay.
I think I don't want to sleep. I know my body wants to sleep, but
you fight
I don't
sleep.
Think I really want
why
to sleep.
Why do you fight? Mm-hmm. But it sounds like to me that you're fighting sleep because you have so much to do. You're fighting the sleep so you can continue to keep moving. Baby, you got to give your body a break. You got to give your body a break. Otherwise, your body going to have a breakdown, and you don't want to have. It's like driving a car nonstop. Eventually, that car is going to be like, hey, you know, I need some gas. So when you going to get your gas? You got to lay down and rest that body and allow yourself to get some sleep. I would suggest get some melatonin and help you stay asleep for a full, at least for full 7 hours. If you can't get all 8 hours, at least 7 hours. Or give yourself a weekend where you shut down and you say, listen, I'm going to be in the bed for a day. And at least give yourself that
time. I can't do that with teenagers.
Oh,
I have a 17, a 12, and a 10. You can't do that with that age range.
Why not if you can't tell that 17-year-old to manage their brother and sister?
Oh, no,
while you get some rest.
She thinks she's 25. You can't tell somebody that's 17 and think they're 25 in the mind.
Well, she can be a 25-year-old helping her mother. Because my thing is, I have an 18-year-old.
Love on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I will definitely put that
on that.
I'm definitely going to lift that up on my altar. But I'm going to tell you right now, my son is 26, and my daughter is 18. Now, when my daughter is 7 years apart from him. So when I needed to rest, he was the man in charge. And he had to do whatever I laid out for them, they had to
follow suit.
And mama rest. And they had to be responsible to do that. So somebody has to be in charge so mama could get some rest. Because then they ain't going to have mama if she don't start getting some rest.
Okay, so in other words, delegate.
That's right.
Okay.
Give them some responsibility so that way when you do have to take time out for yourself, you won't be worried about them.
Or I won't be, like, having guilty conscience, like, oh, I'm abandoning my kids and I'm not being a good mother.
Yeah. And the oldest one is old enough to start doing that. The oldest one is old enough to start doing that. At 17, definitely.
She's old enough, but she don't want to.
Well, you
don't
have to make it happen, Mama. You in charge. She ain't in charge. You in charge.
I know this.
You know,
it'll take
some time.
It takes some time because, you know, we've gotten to a place, and I've gotten that way with my kids too. We've gotten to a place where we let them be themselves, but, you know, at some point they have to assist you so that you can better help them, and they need to understand how it's a relationship.
I don't want her to continue to think that we homies, you know. I'm not your homegirl mama. I'm still your mama. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
right. They get comfortable. Trust me, mine do too. And I had to whip them back into shape. Yep, and whip them back into shape and say, listen, I'm the head boss up in here.
I'm the boss.
You want money in your pocket? You don't get no money until you do what I say do.
I've done it. I met resistance, but I just was consistent and said, well, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'll have the law come get you. Oh, no, I don't want none of that. Well, then follow the directions the first time given. It's not hard.
Exactly. And when it comes to your rest, there is no compromise. You know what I mean? There is no compromise. It's just something that you have to do for yourself, because if you don't do it for yourself, it will be no more you. And then they'll really be hurting because they don't have you. You know, so they definitely have to fall into place, and you definitely have to put some things in order for yourself.
I need to set
getting
some boundaries so that I can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I like to set some boundaries and delegate so I can get some rest.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
I think that'll
work. Thank you so much, Ms. Vicki. And any of the ladies on the line, do you have any questions or anything that you'd like to add before we end for this evening? Okay, so I thank you all for joining me this evening. I'm grateful that we had this discussion and we just had this book read. I want to give you a lineup of a few things that I'm going to be doing this week. So if you ladies want to tune in to any more or other broadcasts that I will be doing this week, I would love it. On Monday evenings, I do participate with Happy Hour in the Crew with some of my people at my brothers and sisters at Elevation Radio, and I will post that on the page. We talk about various different topics, and we just pull them out right there at random. So it would be nice to have you join us or just listen in into some of the fun. It's kind of a fun show where we can just let loose and just talk about anything and have a good time doing it. And then I am doing a show this coming Wednesday, which is Introduction to the Chakras. We're going to be talking about the sacral chakra, which is wonderful, wonderful. It's one of my favorite chakras, which is the second chakra. And I'm not going to tell you what it is in detail, because you need to join the show and listen to what it's all about. So, and that will be Wednesday at 8 p.m., and I will post the information in the group as well. And then there are other sister shows that I affiliate myself with. There's a Getting It In show on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., and I will post that as well. That's through Elevation Radio. And they also do another show on Saturday called The Queen Me Show, which with my sister Liz, and she's also with my sister Cheryl. So check them out at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Elevation Radio. I also want to talk about Thursday's show, where I'm joining the Kings on King Me Show, and we're going to have a healthy and hearty discussion that talks about sacred sex and what makes it different from just sex. That should be interesting. I'm going to talk a lot about Tantra and how that contributes to the wellness of our relationships and just keeping it sacred in the bedroom. So I will post that as well. But again, I want to thank all of you ladies for joining me this evening, and have a beautiful and wonderful week, and we will resume next Sunday. Peace.
Something brand new for y'all. Let's do it. You ready? Come on. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's do it like this. Come on.